Last week, the Supreme Court of the United States handed a surprise win to the LGBTQ+ community. The court said the language of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits sex discrimination, applies to discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Add that to the list of things I never thought I would see in my lifetime, a list that already included my federally recognized marriage to Jackie. It was great news, well-timed for Pride Month. In these trying days, it was especially nice to have something to celebrate. Still, I was reminded of my concern that gains for LGBTQ+ people have outpaced gains for African Americans. Even the fight for justice seems to be unequal. I pondered why this might be. I suspect that one reason is access to wealth. Things really shifted for the LGBTQ+ community back in the 1990s when white gay men became a marketing niche. During my adulthood, capitalism has shifted into ever higher overdrive, and those without access to wealth have only gotten left farther behind. As you know, African Americans and other people of color are disproportionately represented in those numbers. The fact is, Jesus had absolutely nothing to say about homosexuality. One could argue that he had nothing to say about sexuality, period. On the other hand, he had a lot to say about poverty and sickness. He had a lot to say about wealth and power. And he had a lot to say about what happens to those who speak about such things in such a way as to cause disruption. In today's gospel reading we pick up from last week, Jesus is sending the 12 disciples off to heal and to preach. Before they go, Jesus describes what awaits them. We got the first half last week and the second half this week. He paints a pretty glum picture, one of disruption and chaos. Jesus is trying to change the world. Of course there will be disruption and chaos. Change always requires disruption and chaos. It's only a matter of degree. That's true when we experience personal change as individuals. It's true when we experience collective change in community. When the stakes are high, the forces of stasis count on our fear of disruption and chaos, our fear that change will only make things worse. Those forces count on that fear to keep us sitting exactly where we are. Maybe that's why Jesus so often said, "Do not be afraid." Jesus could say that because God knows what God is doing. For the most part, I expect that we church people come to church for consistency and serenity, not for disruption and chaos. But I expect that Jesus would challenge us on that. In a world that is yet governed by the interests of power and wealth, one might even wonder whether it's possible to bring the gospel without causing disruption and chaos. Conversely, if disruption and chaos are signs of the coming of the kingdom, we might take heart from them, and even from the fear that they arouse. Change is coming. It's in the air. The Black Lives Matter movement of the last few weeks has brought a degree of awareness that won't go away. But we're just at a starting point. We know that. We know how huge the problem is, and it can feel massively overwhelming. We need a roadmap of where we might go next. For one option, we might turn to the Reverend Dr. William Barber II and the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. Dr. Barber is recreating Dr. King's vision of a coalition of poor people one built across lines of race and creed, one that for Dr. Barber is also built across lines of sexuality. Yesterday was to have been the campaign's March on Washington. Instead, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, it was a digital gathering. It lasted nearly 3.5 hours and featured dozens of speakers from all walks of life. I watched most of it live. You can now stream it anytime. I want to play a clip of Dr. Barber from yesterday. If you haven't been with us when I've used the share screen option, please bear with me for a moment. This is one of the advantages of doing worship this way, that I can share some of the multimedia that's available out there. So here we go.
Thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris. And I'm Reverend Dr. William J. Barber, the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, and also with Repairers of the Breach. Today we are gathering, and my primary words are going to come at the end when I try to sound a call to action after you have heard the voices of what Dr. Jackson called the prophets. Now this rally, this digital rally, this mass Poor People's Assembly and Moral March on Washington, the stage is being given to people who are impacted. People who are poor and low wealth, who are impacted by systemic racism, systemic poverty, ecological devastation, denial of health care, the war economy, and the false moral narrative of religious nationalism. They will give their stories, because we're going to put a face on this reality of poverty, a face you might not normally think of, a counterintuitive face. So you'll hear from a coal miner from Kentucky, but you'll also hear from somebody from the Delta of Mississippi and somebody from up north in Maine and over to California and Arizona. We're putting a face and a voice on the 140 million poor and low wealth people. That is important. Not just to have people pontificate on behalf of the poor, but to allow the people who are impacted to speak to this nation, because you change the narrative by changing the narrators and by putting a face on it so it's not just numbers. And when we talk about 700 people dying a day, you can see a face. And so today is really about the people. The people, those prophets Dr. Jackson talked about, hearing their voices. And we want you to go get somebody. Tell them to join in. Go to www.june2020.org. We have over 200 Facebook live streamings that are going on right now, and over 100,000 people, plus 150,000 people who RSVP. Go get somebody else and join them, because we believe if you see these faces and hear these voices, you'll join this movement and you'll understand why America has to face this issue that's impacting 43% of the people in this country, 140 million people. There's a second reason, though, we're here today, because today, even as I'm speaking now, it's just gone live, and it will go to every congressperson, every senator, both presidential candidates, governors, and legislatures, the Poor People's Moral Justice Jubilee Policy Platform. Because we understand that a movement must not only have moral articulation, but you must have a moral agenda. We have put an agenda together. We have found the money. We've had people work with the best economists, the best sociologists, and impacted people, putting a budget together. And our platform is 5 principles. Everybody in, nobody out. When you lift from the bottom, everybody rises. Prioritize the leadership of the poor, low income, and most impacted. Debts that cannot be paid must be relieved. And we need a moral revolution of values to repair the breach in our land. We have a comprehensive, and somebody asked us one time, they said, well, what one or two things do you want? And our response was, well, in the pandemic, the corporations got 2.5 to 3 trillion things. Don't limit poor people. Don't limit the low income. We want what is required. We want what is supposed to be. The Bible says in Isaiah 10, woe unto those who legislate evil and rob the poor of their rights and make women and children their prey. And then the third thing is we're building power. We're building power. I'll talk about some of this at the end, but you need to know that the number of poor and low wealth people in this country who have not voted because they don't hear poverty talked about on the political stages, and they don't hear it talked about in the debates. But the number of them that have not voted far outweigh the margins of any candidate's victory. Poor and low-wealth people, as Dr. King told us in 1965 on the steps of the Alabama State House, hold the key to fully transforming the political calculus in this country. So we've come today that you might hear from the people. We've come today that we might present a platform, a real platform, that addresses how we address the issues of systemic racism, poverty, ecological devastation, denial of health care, the war economy, and the false moral narrative of religious nationalism. And we have come to say it's not only time to change the narrative, it's not only time to put a face on it, it's time to be a power, to be a power among poor and low-wealth people. And we won't be silent anymore. We want you now to hear
Dr. Barber mentioned that the event would feature people affected by poverty, and it did. There must have been hundreds of them from around the country using their voices to call for this wealthy nation to seriously address its unconscionable and sinful level of poverty. The National Episcopal Church has signed on to the Poor People's Campaign. And so I want to close with Presiding Bishop Michael Curry's contribution to yesterday's event with another share.
And as a world, we have come to a moment when there are two roads. And the one less traveled makes all the difference. But we have a choice. A choice at this fork in the road. Which road will we travel? Will we as a nation travel the road of selfishness? The road of greed, the road of indifference, the road of lack of concern, or will we travel the road of love, the road of compassion, the road of goodness, the road of justice, the road of caring for each other as sisters and brothers and siblings, children of the one God who has made us all? Oh, two roads in the woods diverge. And I take the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. We lament because we love. We prophesy and stand for prophetic witness because we love. We advocate for justice because we love. We speak painful truth because we love. Because we love our fellow human children of God. Because we love this creation that God has given us. And because we love, we must stand up for what is right. Because we love, we must stand up for what is good. Because we love, we stand up for what is just. Because we love, we stand up for what is not selfish, but sacrificial. Because we love, we march. Because we love, we call on our leaders to help us to make America, America, a shining city on a hill, and not a place of darkness and despair. Let love lead us. Let love guide us. Let love show us the way. Two roads diverge in a wood. We have chosen to take the one less traveled. And that makes all the difference. us all in those almighty hands of love.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God.